Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of the Backyard Banter podcast. My name is Matt Harmon. Thank you guys for coming back for another episode. We're at the 20th episode. That is, I feel like, another mile marker here. This is pretty impressive. I'm so very thankful that everybody is still interested in the show. Today, we've got a whole new experience on. We've got three guests because we've got all three parts of the Fantasy Footballers, one of the top fantasy football podcasts in the industry. We've got Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright. And if you're watching the YouTube broadcast right now, which you can at my YouTube page, you'll see these guys are professionally set up. I'm just here in my bedroom with the stupid tapestry and the flasks in the background, the bandanas.
The 20th episode is a big deal.
Yeah, these guys have got a whole studio back there. So guys, what's going on? All three of you, how you doing?
This has been a slow process. We built up to this, and so we're pretty happy with how everything is now. But yeah, we've got our loyal David Johnson love. We're based out of Phoenix, so we threw him up on the wall, and this was a slow.
Depending on your perspective, this was really quick, but like episode by episode, one little change, just slightly better each time. And I believe today was our 200th episode, right?
Yeah.
So 200. So it's taken a while to iterate to actually having this. The early ones were in the dark.
Don't go back and watch the early ones.
Hey, I can appreciate that. If you go back and listen to the first episodes of this podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud or whatever, you hear the little ding from the Google Hangout.
You have the headset mic. I mean, you're living large over there now. You got a professional microphone.
Well, listen, if people are actually going to listen to the podcast, I feel like it should
never sound... anticipated that, right?
No, absolutely not. I never anticipated anybody. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I guess when you do what we do, You have to assume like, well, maybe people are going to want to listen, but I don't know about you guys, but I always feel like I would talk if nobody listened. Yep. I would write if nobody was going to read. It's like, it's like scratching my hair. Like, that's just, I'm going to do that
right.
Regardless. Yeah. It's an instinct.
We had plenty of shouting into the void moments where we're like, okay, we got all these episodes out. Guys, we got two listens today and we're high five and we did it. We did it.
Yeah.
So
somebody finally wrote into the show. One person. I don't know where he's from. We're answering the question no matter what it is.
That's beautiful. Grassroots podcasting, guys. That's right. Sure we'll talk more about that later on here. But anyways, I always start the podcast asking, how did the guest come to fall in love with football or fantasy football? So kind of take me through, and you guys can tell, how maybe it all brought the three of you together. Like, give me the backstory here.
It's interesting because, we all grew up out here in Phoenix, grew up as sports fans. Really, I grew up a basketball fan first. The Cardinals were horrible, and I was a big fan, but, the Suns were successful. Basketball was fun. And my first experience in fantasy sports at all was fantasy basketball, believe it or not, with Jason.
Yes, sir.
When we were back in high school. So this is going a long ways back. I was a freshman in high school. He's a couple years older. And he invited me to play in his basketball league. And that's when the kind of addiction, appropriately said, I think, started, where it was just I became absorbed in, having the activity of NBA every night and accumulating stats and – that's where my love of fantasy sports began, was with fantasy basketball and believe it or not, with Jason.
So, oh yeah, I was diehard basketball. I didn't even like football because of the 1993-94 Phoenix Suns.
Sure.
And then really fantasy football is what got me into a love of actual football. I joined a league. I felt like I was a kid. I was a kid. So that's usually when you feel like a kid.
Right.
Joined a league, a fantasy football league that my best friend was in, that his dad was running. This is, we're talking on, he checks the box scores from the paper and does the math and all that. And I got a magazine and I drafted blindly out of that. I didn't know anybody. And I got to the championship game and lost in that. And I was hooked for football, and slowly my love for basketball. I don't hardly watch basketball anymore. Yeah. Now I'm diehard football.
When I think back, though, I was always the kid that went out in the backyard and pretended to be the player anyway. So I think it was a really natural transition to just, you know, now I'm going to pretend like I own the players as well and be obsessed with the game. And I mean, it's took a hold of me.
Yeah, mine was a bit slower. I started more, I played fantasy basketball and baseball, a little bit of football, but my dad, as soon as the stadium, our new Cardinal stadium was announced, we grabbed season-long tickets so that we would actually be able to get tickets inside there. So we endured years at Sun Devil Stadium watching football when it's 115 degrees. And
Josh McCown was still playing.
On
metal benches.
That's a rough, rough combo. 115 degrees and Josh McCown?
Yeah, that's the combo. Dangerous.
Yeah, and losing, and then you get Emmitt Smith in here to finish the glory days. I mean, it was a tough haul there for a while, and so just my love of football continued to grow. And then we all met. They grew up together, and I went to college for video game design. That's what I thought I was going to do is make video games and do audio for that. And I meet Jason at a game meeting, and we end up connecting, and he needs an audio guy, so I get hooked up to them, and they have an office league already going, and I'm not involved in this office league yet. And I don't know if you guys remember this moment, but I walk in, and there's a conversation happening of players, as tend to do, and they bring up the kicker from San Diego. I'm like, what are you talking about, Nate Kading? And Jason's like, whoa, you know who the kicker is? Like, we got to get him in the league. So that was I snuck in with my superb kicker knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's how I broke in. And so that was when they decided, okay, we got to expand, and they opened the team up. Well, they really made the league a real league because it was a 10-man, and so they went to the 12, and then it became a real league.
Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, well, that's kind of how it all happens, you know, the interconnectivity of fantasy football and everything like that. That's crazy stuff. Yeah, if you know kickers, I mean, that's a pretty intense sign that you definitely have the sickness.
yeah, that is growing within.
Yeah, no doubt. So you guys are all, you know, kind of conjoined by this fantasy league and the intense knowledge of it. What was the impetus to start kind of covering it or creating the site or creating the podcast? What comes next?
Oh, I think I could answer that a bunch of different ways, but I mean, we all worked in web development and game design and all of these things where I think part of it is the entrepreneurial spirit in our backgrounds, where I was always building websites. I was always coming up with the next, you know, trying to make blogs. I ran an Arizona Cardinals blog for a long time or tried to start these things. So the idea of kind of doing your own thing was always there. And it just kind of over time, I think, as the league became more hardcore, as it dominated more of our conversations, a lot of what you see here on this show is kind of what you saw around a pizza table, you know, at the pizza joint already, you know, where we're discussing and having debates and kind of, you know, the holistic approach to fantasy football is not just stats, it's having fun. And we saw how much fun it was. And we listened to everything that was out there, and we said, you know, we can do this. We can come out here and bring what we each have unique skills to the table.
Well, before we got to the point, I should really say before you two got to the point of where you wanted to make this our own thing, you guys started doing some writing for other sites, right?
Yeah, I did the I can't remember who it was on. You had a guest, and they were talking about they hooked up with Blaine from Fantasy Pros, and that was – I worked a ton with Blaine. I did their covered their blurbs, their player blurbs for a season, and so that's kind of how I got my start writing. And eventually, they entrusted me to some articles, and so I was like, well, you know, maybe I can make a go at this. Mm-hmm. And then,
a podcast for.
And I would say our league, the office league, every year we would make it more and more ridiculous.
Yeah.
We do a live draft. So eventually we got, well, we need an announcer. So we would have
a tuxedo.
We would have one of our friends wear a tux at the podium. We would write our picks on a note card, walk them up, and then they would be read into a PA system. And I would frequently play theme music for myself and dance because my draft pick was so incredible. And so just every year we try and do something more and more to step up the game of the of our league, you know.
Which, by the way, is not a money league at all.
Sure, like, it's just it's a completely free league.
It's a league. You dance.
It's been going for like a decade. People fly in. You know, it started local, but then people moved away, so they fly in for the draft. Yeah. You know, it's one of those, like, the pride and joy leagues in your life, a big portion of your life.
Yes, and then I'm an audio guy, so that's my background, and we're like, we should do a podcast just for our league. Which
just to insult the other 10 players on a regular weekly basis.
So Andy and I, on our lunch breaks, once a week, would break down, you know, the matchups, the trades, basically just spend an hour making fun of everyone else in the league and tell them how great we were in the league. So,
but and since I wasn't a part of that, that podcast was easily the best podcast I've ever listened to. I mean, that podcast was just so awesome because there was no – there was no worry. There was no concern about what people thought. It was just a raw, fun, carnal podcast between friends for friends. It was like everybody listening, we're good friends with. I don't need to worry about anything. And so that was where it started. Then you guys thought, hey, we're doing this for week after week after week. You're doing these episodes. So then they brought it to
basically once a week fully
the fantasy footballers was born, and so we would do a once a week, you know, try and fit everything in, and it was rough at the beginning,
but you know, they're not, you know, we have a long-term friendship that kind of just exists, so the banter you hear isn't, you know, every once in a while we've had people go, oh, they just they're pretending to do this or that. I'm like, no, this is just us, you know? Like,
right.
We are who we are, and I think not trying to pretend is key for anybody who wants a voice in the industry, is, you know, not trying to be something you're not. I think for all of us, the holistic idea of, hey, we're doing this for fun, right? I mean, we're out here, we play with one another. The dynamics of what made our league great was – more than stats and winning. That was a part of it, and that drives you to be able to gloat or whatever it might be. But it wasn't money. I know that. The point wasn't money, and it was enjoyment, and it was conversation around the office that we loved and people who didn't play hated. And, you know, it was – and so that's a piece of the puzzle. We always want our advice to be saturated with how are you going to enjoy your league with this, not just win it. I guess.
Yeah, that's very fair. I think because I consume a whole bunch of podcasts, you know, see what people are doing. And I think that I'm trying to think of the right words. We're approachable. I like to think anyways, we're approachable for the beginner. Yet we have enough depth and content for strong veteran players to still get something out of our show, where we can introduce the new players into these higher level strategies, you know, like talking about streaming quarterback or targets. Like, these things are the important. Don't look at what they did. You're like, oh, he caught five balls. How many targets is he getting every week? And just these things that new players, they're not necessarily used to yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then so let's see how to transition the podcast. So we're doing it once a week. The company we're at,
which is Jason's company.
Yeah,
just to throw it
thanks
out
a lot, Jason.
Yeah, you should really mention that a lot more.
So things start kind of falling apart, and we are kind of going separate ways of, you know, what are we going to do now? And we actually made a decision, like, let's keep the podcast going, Andy and I. And then we said, you know, I feel like the shows that I like the most, there's the dynamic of three. There's a third personality that kind of creates this triangle of awesomeness. So we called the awesomest guy we know.
Franchise, that works at NFL with me, kind of brought up the same point about, you know, just writing about your own league. That's an interesting perspective that, like, I never considered doing, and I don't hear many people in the industry talk about that, or, like, you know, you guys had the podcast based on your own league. I think that's actually kind of an interesting way for people that want to get started to, like, practice writing or practice covering covering the sport in general. So I think that's actually a pretty cool idea.
I think the fact that we built a podcast about our own league, we got a lot of the learning out of the way in terms of the podcast side. I mean, I think we're still striving every day to get better at that. Being in front of a microphone, having the right energy, letting one another speak, how you do those things. But a lot of that learning got out of the way behind closed doors with our private podcast, where we were just, you know, spitballing and practicing with audio and learning all these things that seem intimidating, I think, to new people. But
and you get to just be who you are. You don't, like I was talking about where originally we were being who we thought we were supposed to be,
right?
Instead of just, well, that's trash. I mean,
doing it personally allowed you two to find your voice.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a difficult thing in life, in whatever your medium is.
Sure.
If you're a writer, podcaster, musician, I mean, just finding how you do it, it can be a difficult journey sometimes. So the fact that we got to do that with not the public tearing it apart as we did it.
If you, just being an entrepreneur or somebody who's starting a business, think about, it's easy to see somebody out there doing something and wanting to imitate that, because that's your only example of success in that industry, as opposed to you can't foresee necessarily succeeding with something new as easily. And so that's what causes a lot of the imitation, I think, which isn't always bad. I mean, that's not always a bad thing. You have kind of great models and examples before you, but it's just, it takes time. Yeah. Do yourself, be yourself. And I think a lot of people in the industry have done that, and those are the ones that you've seen succeed with a specific voice, you know, in one area that got them to break into the industry. It's not being the same person. It's kind of bringing your passion to the table.
Yeah, I think as somebody that listens to a lot of podcasts, and I mentioned this on Evan Silva's episode, like when I'm walking my dog, I'm listening to podcasts. You know, when I'm making dinner, listen to podcasts. Making dinner for myself, by the way.
Forever alone.
You know, washing dishes, something like that, always listening to a podcast. And I think that the thing for me, like all my favorite ones, because I listen to a lot, but I definitely have like a core group of five that are my favorite. There's something, like you mentioned, something unique about them. What is it about the fantasy footballers that you guys think is unique that's made you this successful?
I will say, I don't know that we master this, but we have a vision that we kind of really established. We talked about before we really made this as a business, because we were fans, right? We walked around and listened to podcasts. And we felt like the one thing that was missing for our tastes and our desires, our likes, was kind of the trifecta. We have three little pillars that we try to make sure we have on the show. One is we want it to be entertaining. Two is we want it to be accurate with good information. And three is we want it to be a high quality production. And so that was like we all the podcasts that we love. I mean, we listened to them for years and years and years. We felt like still the ones that we loved and still do, really, you could always find like two of those three. Like, you know, they were, you know, you could find an entertaining podcast that would help you lose your league, or you could find a really accurate podcast that was, you know, you're doing work sometimes. You know, hopefully you could find a couple of those that really jived, and you can, and you did. And we just wanted to make sure that those three tiers that we could be entertaining, we could be accurate, and that the production is good. And we sound like a high quality, you know, studio.
Yeah, and I'll add to that too. I think a big thing that we, and we almost stumbled into it without knowing how valuable it would be, but we built a big audience with our consistency in the off season and producing podcasts and football content. And part of that is, you know, you said we listened to podcasts for years. We wanted content during that time of year, and there wasn't enough out there. And so that was something that we really launched our podcast in like February when we first started, was during, you know, basically the lowest time.
Yeah, the doldrums.
Statistically for demand for content. But it was there. And you built a lot of new audience. You built a lot of new fans in this time when there was a little less competition and a little more exposure. And so
and more hardcore fans. Those are the people in the offseason that they just love this stuff. They live for it.
Right.
And then the final piece I would add that I think that helps us and helps people connect with us is we're being who we are. We're being authentic people.
We're independent.
We're all dads, and we have no problem talking about, like, dude, this morning my kid puked all over me. Like, we're connecting with people because everyone with kids are getting puked on.
Yep.
And we're just giving a voice to that, and people, you can easily connect and identify with those things. And we love Game of Thrones, and so now we're fully geeked out that Thrones is back, and just we're not afraid to stray off the path at least a little bit to just be human, you know. And
right.
We love. I know you, sir, are living a much healthier lifestyle, and I commend you for it of the diet. We like to eat not so much. We don't always keep it healthy and narrow, and we'll talk about that and the struggle's real, man.
There's a reason if you're watching the video version that the fat guy's in the back. they put me furthest from the camera, so.
Oh, that's harsh.
It's harsh to myself.
That's harsh. But I think that's really important. Being approachable is something that I've talked about a lot personally, as well as a lot of the guests have talked about, because people are interested in more than just fantasy football. And I just don't think that nobody's interested in hearing the robot regurgitate the same old information, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important when you're building an audience. And also, like, I think the idea of starting it in the off season was crucial, probably, because you're that oasis in the desert, which is a nice parallel, because you guys are actually in Arizona. So, haha.
Oasis, no.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
And we're hyperactive, especially me, hyperactive on Twitter. So
accessibility.
Basically, anyone who tweets at us, I'm going to see your tweet and interact with you in some form or another, which. I always wanted – I shot off plenty of tweets back when I was not an industry person. And every once in a while you'd get that reply back. You're like, wow, I'm talking to an actual human being on the other side.
Right.
So, and I felt like that was a really, you know, a special. And, like, I felt more connected with that person's show. So I took it upon myself that I will be that guy on Twitter, that if you want to talk to us, we're here to talk to you.
Yeah.
As the fan or even the aspiring writer, like, when you get that response from an analyst, it is like a little bit of motivation too. Like, just, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, maybe I can say something that they're actually going to like, you know. Like, I mean, I would remember back in the day, like, talking to Sigmund Bloom or Matt Waldman and be like, God, I really hope they reply to my tweet.
Yeah, exactly. I do. I remember that too. I remember calling into even like local fantasy football shows. And when you have the opportunity to engage and interact, it just builds like a loyalty there too. And never having the mindset, I think, no matter how big the show gets or how many questions coming in, we still are trying to make that effort to reach out and build those connections as much as we can.
Yeah, and I know you've talked about this as well, but we're guys. I mean, we're in fantasy football, so we probably have more knowledge than the average person, but that's because this is our job. So we have the information, but we never put ourselves above someone who has – even if it seems like the most ridiculous, basic, easy question, for them it's not. And
right.
I have no problem answering it. I have no problem answering the same question hundreds of times, because
without being condescending.
Yeah, there's no room for that. Like, this person has a genuine question. Otherwise they wouldn't ask. And sometimes even just asking a question, like, oh geez, you're like throwing that out into the internet of, this might be a stupid question. But no, whatever you need to ask, go ahead and ask. Because we're people, and we're all connecting through a game that we love, and we would never want to make someone feel bad because they want to get better.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's something that I try to do on a daily basis in my work, and the other people that I respect, I feel like, do the same thing. Because, yeah, I mean, regardless of where we all are now, and, you know, the four of us are all probably at a pretty obsessive, ridiculous place with our knowledge of football and fantasy football. Yeah, for sure. That's not a maybe. we were all there at one point. I mean, I've shared the story about how, like, I drafted two quarterbacks before I drafted my second wide receiver in my first fantasy league. Like, I've done that. I've been that idiot. You know, we've all been
Lawrence Maroney in the second round for as long as I live.
Oh, God, I had Lawrence Maroney on my first fantasy team, too. Oh, that was so terrible. Oh, God, that's awful.
I can remember. We've all been there. We've all been in that place.
Right.
I mean, we'll look back in a year and probably have more areas of our knowledge where we're in that place, too. So stay humble. Stay water. Yes. We always say stay water, you know? Be willing to be pliable. Don't, you know, put yourself in a position where you think you know everything. We're willing to admit, even on the show, new information changes our information. Don't stay with a bad prediction, so you look, you know, like you know everything. Change if you don't know, change it.
Sometimes you have to apologize to people like Devontae Freeman.
Yes, you do.
While you play, you play a sad overture, so that he really knows that it was heartfelt, and I was very wrong.
So when Devonta Freeman tunes into the show, he knows that the apology is. That's always my favorite, just a sidebar. It's like when somebody says, oh man, like I was listening to my friend TJ Hernandez was on the road of his radio the other day.
We hung out with TJ in FSTA.
Yeah, he was in LA a couple weeks ago. He and Chris Raybon were out here. We went to see a comedy show together. That was a blast. That's all the details I'll share. But it was blast. but he was on the show and said something about Sammy Watkins, and at the end of it was like, man, I hope Sammy Watkins doesn't listen to this episode. It's always funny.
Right.
But then you think that, but then you say something on Twitter and they'll find you. I mean, they are paying attention on social media, that is for sure. So always be careful of that. Guys, we've mentioned a lot about how there's, you know, the three of you, and there's all different perspectives. Kind of one by one, what do you think, like, each one of you brings to the table that maybe the other doesn't? And how does that complement the show and make it better as a whole?
Yeah, sure. So I'll start. I think that I'm probably more of the metric snob than the other two guys. I mean, I like the film and everything, but I can get carried away with when I see certain measurables of a player and wanting to buy in. And I would also say I am the, as far as balancing our opinions, I'm the risk taker.
I thought for a second you were going to say that you were the balanced guy, and I was going to be like,
no.
What?
No, I balance us out because I play the era, the Bruce Arians, no risk it, no biscuit. Yeah. And I will gladly change or take someone who's considered risky. Like last year, it didn't work out, but I was very aggressive in drafting Jeremy Hill and guys like that, where you have a small sample size and maybe they've even burned you. But like, as of right now, I love CJ Anderson. I love Eddie Lacy. I'm going back to that well, and I know that it's a volatile, risky situation. So, but that's how I play the game.
Yeah.
There's been a little bit of poison poured in that well, but you're willing to drink the water out of that well, Mike.
So, you're willing to take your chance.
Someone's going to do it.
I would add for you, you really brought an audio quality and knowledge to the show that we would not be the same show without. Every single drop, every single audio thing that you hear on our show is made by Mike from the ground up, all the riffs on the guitar and everything, so... it's an unfair advantage to have you, Mike. And
I like where this is going.
Yeah, for me, so I come in. I feel like I'm more balanced usually in the rankings. I'm kind of. It seems like I split the difference on a lot of guys between you two. Maybe that's just because I'm not risky. Who knows? For me, I came from. A comedy improv background, did work with the Groundlings in California, went to U of A for theater and acting and directing. So, there's more of, I think, from my perspective, entertainment and that. I clearly put the fantasy football correct accuracy first, but that's always been a focus of mine, is making sure that our shows are fun and entertaining. And then there's the entrepreneurial side. Not necessarily seen in the podcast, but, you know, it was, I came from, helping you know, I built the video game business that we all came together in. And so when I look at this podcast, which is really where it started, was just a podcast. You know, I look at it also from the business side, from a brand side, from a growing and making things better for our users that isn't necessarily on the podcast or scene. So I feel like a little bit of behind the scenes. That would be where I come from.
Yeah, I'll give him a lot of credit. He saw the potential for the show to grow before he was ever involved in it. Privately, never asked to be, you know, didn't want to presume upon trying to be involved when Mike and I started this. We invited him of our own volition, but he always believed that it could grow and saw the direction. I guess, I think naturally, partly because of the host thing, but I mean, I'm a more big picture type of person in general, giving better context to the moves that you make. That's what I try to bring a lot of the time to listener questions and those things. You know, how does this fit into the bigger picture beyond this week or beyond those things? I don't think I'm more conservative. Like, I don't think I'm the opposite of Mike.
I'd say you're about right in the middle.
Yeah, I would say that too. So, but big picture, you know, put this in the context of how you think about fantasy football is how I like to approach it. You know, I think that's what you see on the show is how we approach the game ourselves. And so that's how I approach fantasy football is with, you know, so many people want the black and white, right? Like they want the answer of, who do I trade this guy for, and where do I, you know, what? Who do I take in the third round in my draft? And really putting it into the context of, well, you know, you're going to have to. That's going to be different based on the people that are in your league and the relationships you have built with them and how they trade and how they think about.
You're a big context guy. You always give context.
Yeah. So I think that's how those things work together.
And you are. He's being bad, being
modest.
Modest, which is weird, but he's also our web guy. So he's completely built our website. What I think another kind of bonus for our show, I mean, it's the three of us. We actually have a listener turned worker or
production manager of sorts.
Shout out to Brooks, who he holds it down. But the three of us are just our background skill sets formed so perfectly to create this puzzle of a grand scheme where
We feel very, very fortunate to have been in this circumstance to where we could even commit our you know, we all have three kids and we're married, and to be able to have committed this part of our life to full-time work where, you know, paying the bills isn't as consistent as it was with other professions or other jobs. It just worked out in the right way. It worked out in the right mix.
Yeah. I mean, life, everything happens for a reason. I mean, I believe that personally. And, you know, sometimes when things are meant to be, it just all comes together. And having that team is pretty important. It's a bit different from, like, my perspective and other people's that have come up, because sometimes it definitely helps to have a unit and to come up together and to make it in that way. That's pretty interesting. So kind of shifting from your, like, the structure of your show to more like building the hashtag brand.
Oh, yes. Love our hashtag brand.
Yeah, that's what we're all here for. We're all here for the brand. I don't know if you guys saw the this happened. It was coming up on Twitter the other day, like John Stamos's like staged rant.
That's so funny, by the way. I didn't see that. Yeah,
I think I missed
at the Netflix office. Yeah.
Oh, it's great. But what's funny, like this weekend, I was just noticing this on Sunday. People were picking it up back again and didn't realize that it had been staged. So people thought it was like real. And I was like, guys, this happened like 2 months ago. Like, with this, right. You know, but it's really funny because he just goes in and freaks out about it. It's my brand. I've built the Stamos brand. And I feel like that could be like any of us on Twitter, you know, like it's my brand, like with Charlie and I yelling at the Netflix office or whatever.
That's right.
We're all here for our brand, but you guys, like, how do you build a podcast from the grassroots? How do you gain listeners? Like, if someone's out there that wants to start a podcast, what's the best way to approach that?
Man, the best way to approach, I would say, first off,
we do get asked that a lot.
Yeah, and say first off, we had talked about doing the show for just your league. I think that's crucial because you need to be ready when your chance comes. Luckily, I think we were pretty ready. Like, we go back and look at our shows a year ago, which we just did this morning. We're like, yeah, that's
pretty bad.
That's not. It's okay. It's okay. But and so we think we've evolved and grown since then. But you, I mean, sometimes in these things you get one chance.
You can't just do everything without actually putting thought and care and time in. You know, our show, if you listen to it, it might sound like it's off the cuff and that, you know, we are just having a blast together, but there's work put into every single thing beforehand. You know, we've got a big, long researched show doc that we're using, and we've put in time and effort around the clock on the production value and those things. So you have to think about the hashtag brand when you come to naming things, when you come to flow of things and you know, making yourself marketable.
Yeah, and I, at least for myself, as a business person and working in different environments and trying to start this, I've just learned over the years that you cannot do every single thing well. And so being discerning about the opportunities that do present themselves, you know, we had a lot of opportunities in the beginning of this show to attach to this company, to attach to that company, to do, you know, take on more than we could have handled in a way that was high quality. And those decisions, you have to be patient with. You know, I agree with Mike, maybe you only get a few shots here and there, but pick the right one, be patient with that. Don't jump into something that is going to burn you out in 2 seconds. This is a kind of an environment where, I mean, we get the emails all the time of people who want to write for free and grind it out for free. And if that's your passion, it's really not grinding it out. But you can also get burnt out if you put yourself in the wrong position. So I think it's just, for me, the way I approach life, like, we could be doing 10 extra things, but we try to focus our energy on the things that are the most effective. So if you're a writer, I would focus on not also trying to be, you know, also a DFS writer, and you're also doing, you know, a YouTube show, and you're also doing all these at the exact same moment. You know, building, I think, you know, taking your time with that is important. At least that's one of the things that I think helped us grow, was being a little more discerning with the opportunities and being passionate about the ones we were in. Because it's something where you succeed when you want to succeed, sort of.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I may or may not have ever mentioned on the podcast, but I think I learned early on that quality was more important than quantity. Mm-hmm. I actually had a... you know, this is a story I've never mentioned, but I had a site tell me that I was making a huge mistake because I was leaving their for free gig to pursue a paid opportunity. And also my reasoning was, like, I want to just focus on making quality content, like, not barrage with a bunch of places, you know, that, you know, is all about quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And that's something, that's something you guys have done very well, in my opinion.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I think your story is an awesome example both of the fact of what's out there for, like, prospective writers, that they, you know, the gall to leave your free job to go do something else, but also just choosing something that you know is more important and putting the effort into that.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to learn to prioritize.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is, because the pressure is... because the NFL is reactionary. You always feel like you need to have a take on everything. And I will always remember, I think it's Darren Page, who always says, he's not really working for anybody anymore, but, you know, he just always says, whenever it's one of those moments that, like, you can feel the awkwardness of, like, everybody responding to something, you know, he's like, you guys, you don't have to have a take on everything. And I think that's just so important. Like, you can let some news slide. But guys, kind of winding down here a little bit, I kind of have been asking people lately, you know, where do you guys see that? You know, this feels like a stupid thing that your grandmother would ask you when you're graduating college. But, like, where do you guys see the podcast, the website going? You know, it's obviously grown a lot over the years, but what are your plans to expand further? If there are any.
Yeah, yeah. There certainly are. I mean, I think that the, you know, I think that the video side is something that it doesn't make up a large component of our listenership, because so much of that is on the podcast. But obviously you see we've put a lot of resources and effort into the video production, because we see that as something that will be in higher demand in the industry in the future.
Part of the next step.
part of the next step. So I think that the video side, the production, video is for the brand.
Yeah,
itself.
For the brand. I also think the website is something we want to grow. We came from a background of, you know, we made apps and video games, but before that we were making websites that were content distribution websites. That's like our first background going back, you know, a decade ago. And there is so, there are so many different nuggets of glorious information that we want to be able to give out to people for free. So it's basically just as you were saying, it was quality over quantity. We chose, actively decided to not do everything at once, to not, you know, we wanted to capitalize on where we were best at first and get that solid before we spread ourselves too thin. But eventually, we see huge improvements in the website and in content, free content for people, and huge improvements on the video side and the television side. Those are the two kind of avenues of growth for us.
And we have this video show, this side production video show. So if you want to talk to your boss, NFL.com, whatever, you know.
I've never heard of them. NFL.com, huh?
And well, the network, the big guns, we're ready. We're beam us up.
Yeah, well let me get on that promotion grind first.
There you go.
I'll worry about me, then I'll start worrying about you guys. No, but
that's so selfish, Harmon.
typical Harmon, so selfish.
He was gonna sell you some mustache too. I know that.
I was.
Wow.
Not sell. Donate.
Donate. Yeah.
Now we're talking. Now let me get my agent in touch with you guys. No, but I think that's fantastic. And the visual media is definitely, you know, I can tell you this from working at NFL, that's what everybody's obsessed with now. And that's, you know, that's where all the resources are going to make that sort of stuff better. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, if you're out there and you want to get into the field, perhaps that is the next avenue, you know,
yeah.
As everybody's, you know, plenty of people are writers, plenty of people are doing great podcasts, like, you know, video shows are kind of the wave of the future. And so I think that's an outstanding avenue for you guys to take. And I think, obviously, hey, like I said, you guys look, your presentation, a hell of a lot better than mine back here.
We need to get one of those, the rugs on the wall, though. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, the tapestry?
Yeah.
That's a great sign. That's a great signal. Like, whoever has this on their wall has not grown up yet.
I thought maybe the whole room was turned sideways and you were just doing the podcast. That was the carpet on the side.
This is the Spider-Man effect, yes.
That's not a rug. That's just a tapestry.
It's a tapestry, right. Bro. See, yeah, Mike gets me.
We got a lot to learn about this industry, so.
That's something nobody should ever learn about. But kind of last couple questions here, guys, before we get on out of here. And ask you kind of a two-part question in a way, actually. One, what's something that you see in the industry, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's through other podcasts or writers in their work in general? What's something you guys see that collectively you don't like or you think kind of stands against what you guys do?
Oh, I can go first.
Jumping at the bit there.
Yeah. Whoa! Let me tell you, because we one of the things we love about this industry is that this industry is not against each other. So I'm starting with, you know, the good here. You know, it's so cooperative. You come on our show, we come on your show. We're huge fans of your work and of so many people's works. We don't like disparaging anybody, really.
So I would say the part that kind of bums me out is it plays off of what Jason was saying of, I think most industry people in the industry, we work together nicely, and I never say a disparaging comment about anyone who I consider a colleague, but there is, I've seen some attacks on, especially on the Twitter, and it's like, dude, you can disagree with someone. We have disagreements all the time, but the disagreement is the disagreement. It is not a
personal.
I'm not launching a personal attack, which I could easily do against
it's
Andy.
So easy to personally attack Andy, but we don't do it.
But it just, you got to leave the argument to the actual argument, and I've just seen
so maybe
too many analyst on analyst attacks.
So being the context guy, then it's to see what you're doing for what it is. You know, we're not, you know, this isn't nuclear warheads. We're not doing brain surgery, life and death. So having some context for that, and I think, you know, that speaks to, I think you said it earlier about kind of some of the analysts that are more like condescending to new players or to people who didn't word their question the right way or being haughty about their knowledge. I mean, none of us can see the future. We see the past. We see the stats and things like that.
I'm curious your answer on that. What do you see that you don't like?
Oh, did you just spin this back on me?
I'm curious as well.
I mean, I think that's probably the main one for me. You know, people disparaging each other or you know, making, like you said, making this more than it is. Like, this is, it's a game. We're here talking about a game, you know. it's so many layers of silliness that it seems crazy to get that up in arms about it. But probably the main thing to me, and this has really been more so exaggerated for the fact that now I work for a big company and that there's some pressure to do this, like people talking down to their audience. Like, I've mentioned this before on the podcast, like whether it's dumbing down your content, like, and I get that a lot because I'm going to be kind to myself here and say I write in a lot of detail. But so people, there's a lot of pressure that people put on me to, you know, be like, hey, you know, maybe you can make that shorter or simpler, you know? And I'm like, I get that. I understand that people do want that, but sometimes it comes off as like, you just need to spoon feed your audience. And I don't like that. That's one of the things I don't, you know, I don't particularly care for. I think that as a creator, a writer, or a podcast or anything like that, your goal should be to educate your audience, bring their level of discourse up, because, you know, whether they're into all the X's and O's or anything like that, everybody just wants to be the smartest guy at the bar, you know, like the guy that he'd be like, I know who that player is, or, you know, or this or that, or I can identify the cover three defense or that sort of stuff because I heard about it on NFL Network or what have you. But so that's probably the main thing I think that bothers me.
Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah. You guys just spun me around. I'm usually I'm the host of this show.
All right, one more for you. What's your favorite tapestry?
That's actually, I can give you a real answer. Here's a good little personal anecdote. My college roommate and I lived together all 4 years. We were random roommates in freshman year, and we ended up becoming like best friends. Shouts Evan Bauer. I love you, buddy. I don't even think he listens to the show though, so I don't love you that much.
That's your friend.
Yeah, right. What kind of a friend is he? But so freshman year, they used to sell tapestries like outside of the cafeteria at college, and we bought this like kind of Rastafarian looking lion tapestry. And we had it all 4 years because we lived in the same room in whether it was a house or a dorm all 4 years. And we always had it in front of the window. And when we graduated, obviously, like he went off to live in New York with his then girlfriend. And I went back to Virginia and eventually made it out here. I told him, take this with you because you're going to be living with a girlfriend that he had been dating for years at the time. Your life is going to go in these different directions. You need to be reminded of what it was like when we were together. So I bequeathed it to him, and he still to this day hangs it in his
tapestry. Awesome. All that I can think about is the scene of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade where Indiana Jones breaks into the castle to save his dad, and he's pretending to clean the tapestries. I'm talking to no one.
You're talking to yourself.
Welcome to the normal episode of the Fantasy Football.
I was going to say.
Have you seen Indiana Jones?
I have not.
Oh, he's not even seen it.
Matt Harmon.
I've seen it and I don't remember the scene.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You dig deep for your pop culture.
That's not even deep. It's Indiana Jones.
One of the big jokes here at NFL is that I've seen like no movies. And actually, it's not a joke because it's true. I've seen like 10 movies ever. And Gelhar and Marcus Grant are like big movie buffs, so they'll constantly make references, and then they'll go, "Wait, has Harmon seen it?"
Yeah,
get Gelhar in here, and we'll movie reference till the cows come.
There's a lot of discrimination in this studio about movies that have been seen, and it all comes my direction.
Yeah, I'm a big movie snob.
Yeah,
yeah. Mike is Mr. Pop.
He calls me uncultured swine on a regular basis.
Oh, I love the pretentiousness. Yeah, Gelhar, we get along well with you, Mike. Let me just tell you, as somebody that's been slandered left and right, there would be a lot of connection there.
We will unite.
You guys, you get him on your show for sure. But guys, kind of winding down here, I always give the guests one last chance at the floor to kind of say any any last parting words before I yank it out from under you and we get out of here? So, all three of you guys, the floor is yours. Take it for what you will.
Anybody got anything?
I'll give one last piece of advice. It's that you should – it kind of sucks at first. Don't be afraid to stand up for yourself or to plug yourself. A lot of people, you know, if they're not going to find your writing, your podcast, they're not going to find you if you don't get out there and say, hey, I have a product I believe in. I think you should check it out. So having said that, our Ultimate Draft Kit is available for pre-sale on our website, thefantasyfootballers.com.
There you go. Hey, I'll add something that is
gotta keep the lights on, man.
Not self-promoting at all. You talked about priorities earlier. I would say that, and we talked about having balance in our opinions on fantasy football, but I think we all take the approach that, and you'd probably agree that balance in your life is important too. We made a lot of decisions about when we record the show and how we record those things that were built around our families and the fact that, you know, okay, so the East Coast commute could probably get the show a couple hours earlier if we bent over backwards and made everybody suffer in our lives. But making those kind of decisions when you go about building a business or a podcast or a brand, I mean, fundamentally, I think we all agree, at least in this studio, of how important those decisions are, because having that kind of a balance lets you succeed in your area where you're passionate about and where you're working hard at, and not just, you know, it's not, hey, I mean, you said it, maybe it's the theme of the show, quality over quantity, you know, a quality effort in the right priority order in your life is really, I think, what's led to us having more success than not.
So yeah, absolutely. Strong business game, strong family game.
And there I would just conclude by saying the last thing I have to say is thank you to you, Matt Harris, for having us on.
And really for the work we do. We really do. You
do the best work on wide receivers, bar none. So if you are listening, I think everybody knows that. But we appreciate it. And
we met your quota, Harmon. We did it.
There it is. You got to say one nice thing about me before you get out. That's a requirement. No, but thank you. That is very appreciated. I love you guys' podcast too. I think you all three of you guys are fantastic, and I really want to thank you guys for coming on. This was great. If you guys aren't familiar with the podcast, definitely check out The Fantasy Footballers. It's on iTunes. I subscribe and listen to it. You guys should too. And if you're looking to get like really into the podcast game, I think this was a very helpful episode. So if you listeners, again, thank you all so much for tuning in. If you could, please leave a rating or review on iTunes. We talked about that on the show and how important that is. Definitely continue to spread the word about the show. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you learned something today.